This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Dashran Johan. On the 30th of July, Sabah Chief Minister Shafi Abdal announced that the State Governor Johar Maruyidin had agreed to dissolve the State Assembly and return the power to the people to choose the state government by way of snap polls. So the snap elections will be held within 60 days of the dissolution of the state government, which means it should happen anytime within the next 50 days. So in light of that and the growing youth movement in politics as we see on social media, what we're going to be digging into today is basically what do Sabahan youths want? What are the key issues that they are focused on and what's going to influence them to vote one way or another? So, to help me unpack that, I have on Skype two Sabahan youths, Mahira Marzuki, who is the project coordinator of Undi Sabah, as well as Shan Gom, a mock MP from Parliament Digital. Hello guys, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hello, hi.
All right. To start off, Mahira, can you first briefly walk us through the sequence of events that led to the dissolution of the Sabah State Assembly?
Okay, yeah. So I think it starts when Musa Aman claims to have a simple majority and the numbers to take over the state government. Then the day after, Shafi also claimed that he has the majority. I think because of this situation, there are conflicting claims. Therefore, the TYT was advised to dissolve the assembly. I think there's an entire issue of this that they are bringing to the court, but that's like another different issue. But I think that's where it leads to today, an election.
Okay, Shan, on the eve of Shafi Abdal's announcement, nobody knew what exactly was going to announce the next day. And I think there were three possible outcomes. One, Shafi Abdal proves he has the majority. The other one, Musa Aman proves he has the majority. Or the final option, which is the dissolution of the government. Did you predict that there will be a dissolution of the state government?
So, to be honest, personally, I was not surprised by the outcome that was decided by Shafi Abdal. I think mainly because being put in a state where you got another opposition claiming to have majority, the only logical thing that you can do is to call for the dissolution of the Sabah State Assembly. So, but on the eve of the announcement, my friends and I, we actually kind of predicted that it would happen that way because, you know, Sabah state politics is kind of not in a stable condition right now. And therefore, I think that's the most logical thing that Shafi Abdal could have done.
On that same note, Mahira, what were your initial thoughts when Shafi Abdal announced the dissolution of the Sabah State Assembly?
Yeah, so I was conflicted, actually. I was definitely alarmed at first because we are in the midst of a pandemic. So what came straight into mind is when you dissolve the assembly, it's like, oh, there's going to be an election. It's just about figuring out how do we go about this. And I don't think I share this sentiment alone, especially when there are new clusters, an increased number of infected people. But at the same time, dissolving the assembly was the most democratic move that Sabah can take. And the people should, like, you know, glad that we actually took that move because you essentially return the power back to the people. So I guess it's the best indicator to reflect the rakyat's mandate. So I'm honestly also not surprised that they dissolved the assembly. I think it's actually a good move.
Yeah, personally, I do think that a fresh state election is needed, taking into account the current political landscape, as it would give the people of Sabah the ability to choose their own representative once again. However, proper SOPs, social distancing should also be adhered to when casting votes. And it's kind of worrying because, like, if you see the recent news, there's quite a few new cases back in Sabah, especially in my own hometown, Penampang. There's a primary school who basically it has to be closed down because there's few cases in that primary school itself. So I'm kind of two-sided on this. I really want the new, I really want the snap election to be going on. But at the same time, I'm quite worried that it will create more clusters or more cases in terms of COVID-19.
And would you say that that is generally the vibe among youths in Sabah since the announcement of the snap elections?
I think the youth are very invested in wanting to, you know, shape the politics of Sabah, because the recent party hopping just made us, it was an epiphany for a lot of youth into like seeing right through the type, the kind of politicians that we want to vote into our state, or who do we want to shape the state.
Do you think there are certain pockets of youths who are kind of disillusioned and getting fatigued because of all this?
I guess like those things are very legitimate sentiments. Like I felt that too, because I thought not only like the Langkah Sheraton, what happened in the federal level, like even in the state level, they pulled this off very often. So those are legitimate sentiments. But I feel like because it kept on happening, I think this is where the youth are starting to realize that maybe it's time for us to step in, because people are tired of all of the people or the same actors, same political elites who are controlling and making the call. So maybe this is our time. So before this, there's a dichotomy when it comes to power. There's the government, there's the opposition. But now when the youth observes that, you know what, it's actually basically the same thing. So there are talks of like the third force wanting to enter the political realm. Like there's probably new actors or new parties who probably would want to enter and change, like shake things up a bit. So as much as we're disillusioned and also fatigued, I think that also made a lot of youth feel much more empowered than they are before.
Shan, do you have anything to add to that?
I think you could actually see on Twitter, on Instagram, especially after the Langkah Sheraton move, a lot of youths actually advocate for those who are above 21 to go and register to vote, to register online, right? Personally, I was one of that person. I registered to vote actually this year around March, not knowing that there would be a Sabah state election, right? Step election. So basically, if there is a step election, I'm already registered to go in. So I think that's kind of a blessing in disguise. You know, when there's a political turmoil, the youths actually feel more empowered and advocate for more youths to be registered, because the UNDI 18 bill, as I've heard, will only be implemented, I think, next year, together with the automatic registration of those over 18. So I think that I hope that there would be some statistic to show that how many Sabahan youths have actually registered for these coming snap elections. And I hope that it's going to be a huge number as well.
Why do you think it's important for Sabahan youths to be engaged in politics, especially right now?
I think it's important because oftentimes youths are being looked down upon. And personally, growing up in a traditional family, I was always advised to just stay away from politics. And I feel that there's a stereotype, and it doesn't necessarily mean that when you're engaged in politics, you'll need to be a politician. The truth is, when you're engaged in politics, you will be more aware of your surrounding, the current issues affecting your community, and what you can do to play a role. And I feel that as Sabahans ourselves, being known the fact that we're left behind in terms of development, the least that we could do is to equip ourselves with knowledge in terms of the current political landscape of what is happening around us. And it will actually empower us to be more of useful community one day.
I think we need to be engaged simply because we've been absent. Like, particularly in Sabah, we observe that it's always the same political elites and dynasties who are making the calls. And we barely see any willingness for these political elites to include us. Maybe there are one or two token youth, but in general, I think Sabah is very apprehensive in making young people to make the calls. And it's very important because a lot of youth issues will be sidelined when you detract yourself from the political discussion. Things like minimum wage, unemployment, expensive flight tickets. In parliament itself, we have YB Syed Saddiq talking about the concerns of Sabahan youth who are studying in Peninsula. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that so? Why are there no youth rep from Sabah, or not even like MPs from Sabah? So I think it's time for us to, you know, be politically involved. When we come as a collective, that's where they can spot us and notice that our voice is present, that we are here and making demands.
On that note, we do need to take a quick break. But after this, we'll continue our discussion on the Sabah state elections and what do Sabahan youths want. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Dashran Johan. And joining me on Skype is the project coordinator of Undi Sabah, Mahira Marzuki, as well as Sean Gom, a mock MP from Parliament Digital. And we are talking about the upcoming Sabah state elections and what do Sabahan youths want out of it. So now let's go to the key issues that Sabahan youths are focused on. What are some of these issues? Sean, let's start with you.
I think you can actually see, mostly on social media, one of the key issues Sabahans and also Sarawak focus on is on infrastructure, which is on equal internet access towards the whole of Borneo. And it's really relevant now as going towards online learning, especially as I'm a student myself. It's really hard, to be honest, to not only to keep up with online learning, but also to have the internet access to be able to do online learning as well. There's quite a few commotion that happened recently with the news of a UMS student, Viviana Mosibin, who actually had to climb a tree to find proper internet access. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a sad thing, but it's a reality in Sabah. I think personally for me, Sabah has been left behind in terms of development for so long. And we're trying to advocate about this, especially in Parliament Digital itself, where actually a lot of Sabahans talk about proper internet access, equal internet access towards the whole of Sabah. And it's not only for education per se, it's also for the access of information, relevant information. And if you want to keep it into the political sense, people could actually check relevant information about their candidates online with proper internet access. By actually not providing proper internet access, I feel that you're actually making this community left behind in terms of development. And going on with the infrastructure itself, I think for my constituency, myself, Penampang, one thing that we really want to focus on is the proper drainage system. A lot of youths have actually talked about this because even during Parliament Digital itself, my house was flooded. So it's something really relevant to us. And we actually want to actually advocate about proper drainage system.
Yeah, from a person who just graduated, I feel like things like minimum wage and unemployment also a thing that youth are championing for. And oftentimes we see like the minimum wage in Sabah is relatively or vastly very different compared to, you know, like in Kuala Lumpur or in other urban areas, like it's very low. And so those are the things that maybe like we wanna fight for. But secondly, also like the flight tickets that are always so expensive in uni, like I think when I was in pre-law, it has always been a concern until I graduated, the issue still remains. And I think like those are one of the issues as well. I guess like besides that, like in a bigger picture, it's also about the people that we want to vote for.
Right.
The kind of people that we want to vote for. Like obviously we have a lot of these issues that we want to champion for, but it's also about the kind of people who could bring these issues forward, because I could champion or want to advocate for certain issues, but if the politician that I'm voting for doesn't want to forward these issues, doesn't want to champion for these issues, then like there's no use to it. So I guess it's also about the kind of politicians that we want to vote for, those with integrity, those who can forward the ideals of the Sabahan people.
I think that is a nice segue to our next question about party hopping and these frog politicians that have been the major talking point for months, but especially so in the last 2 weeks. Are Sabahan youths keeping tabs on the names of these politicians, and will it affect their decision to vote one party or another?
I'm pretty sure they do, and they will, especially now that you know, like in the age of globalization, like access to information is very easy. And now we have that website people made, which is katasabah.com. And I would implore everyone and all Sabahans to please visit that website, katasabah.com, which highlights all of the MPs who jump parties and you can keep track. So there are also, beside that, there are infographics disseminated in social media on personalities who jump seats before, like, 7 times for, and it's being viral. So I think they are keeping tabs, and they're trying to, because I'm trying to, because there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the website, they've listed the politicians who jump seats, and it would definitely affect how youth would vote these people.
Yeah, to add on to that, even though there's quite a few commotions going on in social media and also the website, as Mahira mentioned, we have to take into account that I think there's a recent research that shows that around 50% of, more than 50% of Sabahan youths, they don't have internet access. So this is quite worrying, to be honest. And if they don't have internet access, they can't actually keep tabs on who, on what their representatives are doing currently. Mm. So I think to say that all Sabahan youths keep tab is an understatement. I think the correct term to use is all Sabahan youths who have internet access are currently keeping tabs. I think that's the correct one. But then, yeah, taking into effect that a lot of us actually don't have internet access, that's kind of worrying as well. And I feel personally it will affect the decision, the outcome. But at the same time, it all comes down to the individual itself, on the person who's contesting. I mean, if they have a proper reason for them to change parties, and if the people itself believe what they say, then I don't think that when they jump, it would sway the decision of the voters.
Okay, I think you bring up a very, very good point about, you know, all Sabahans who have internet access are keeping tabs. So Mahira, I just want to bring you in a little bit more for this, because you are, as we mentioned, the project coordinator of Undi Sabah. So from the perspective of Undi Sabah, from your team, how are y'all planning to get past the obstacle that Shan just mentioned?
Yes, obviously, like all of us in Undi Sabah, we don't have the resources, and we obviously would try as best as we can to penetrate as much demographics as we can through social media. And it doesn't have to be through like Twitter or Instagram. Research have shown that like most Sabahans, if not all, have WhatsApp, and it can be disseminated through any other mediums as well. And if it's WhatsApp, like we can also disseminate it through that manner. But it's not only just that, but it's also reaching out to personalities, like community leaders, like local leaders, and asking them to disseminate that kind of information to people within that constituencies.
So there are some who say that the electorate in East Malaysia tends to vote with the party they think is going to form the federal government, because of the fear that if the state government isn't aligned with the federal government, it could mean not getting enough funds or things along those lines. What are your thoughts on this, Mahira?
I think those things may happen.
Okay.
Like, it's true that people would probably vote because of those reasons, but I do think it's changing. People are realizing, or because of the age of internet, of globalization, people are realizing that, hey, like I go to KL and I study there, but I come back to my hometown in Sabah, like it's not the same. Why is that so? And I think through this dissemination of information, people are starting to scrutinize their own MPs, their own constituency, like why are things not the same here in my hometown? Maybe the previous generations don't have the privilege as the current generation. So as youth, we are the ones who, like disseminating this information and making them see these things. So yeah, I think things are changing. But I don't know, what do you think, Shan?
Yeah, so if I were to speak from my own constituency, previously in the previous general election, I think personally, most of us actually voted according to party. It's not based on the individual, but it's more on the party itself, but not in the prediction of who would become the federal government. It's more towards the belief of the party itself. And I think it's a widespread thing amongst the constituencies in Sabah. But then coming towards this election, I heard from my friends and from my family that people are turning towards voting towards individual rather than party, because to be honest, now there's quite a few issues with regards to the two different major parties in Sabah. So people would actually opt for voting for the individual itself. So it's really anyone's game right now. It's really changing. I could say it's changing because previously we voted according to party, but that now I could predict that most people will vote according to the individual. And also because in my constituency itself, the previous Adun is quite new. And therefore, amongst these 2 years of reigning, we can actually see how is she doing and what is she doing for our community. Mm. And yeah, if she were to contest again, it would be really interesting because we could actually see her contribution towards our community. And it all depends on the individual itself. So yeah, safe to say that most people right now, especially I could say in my constituency, we won't vote according to party, but mostly according to the individual.
Mm. Okay. So, race-based politicking, right? Let's talk about that. Race-based politicking is still huge in Peninsula Malaysia. And over here in Peninsula, the country is rather polarized politically. It's very, very polarized. But what is the landscape like in Sabah? And could a party that is very racial-centric prove to be strong in Sabah?
Personally, I don't think it's gonna be relevant in Sabah right now. I mean, if you were to focus only on one race, there's like, I don't know, around 50 different races in Sabah. So so would you need 50 different parties? Mm. Yeah, I don't think it's really relevant. Especially, you can actually see some people talking about the new party formed by Mahathir, and people are asking why is there need to be another race-based party. Mm. And if it were to happen in Sabah, I could safe to say that it's not going to be quite successful, especially in Sabah, where more, I mean, to be honest, when there's a candidate contesting for an Adun, we actually see on the individual itself, like I mentioned before. We don't actually ask for your race, for your religion. We actually want to see how you are as an individual or how you fare as an individual. For example, in Penampang, even though majority of us are Christians, we don't actually care when there's another religion or when there's another race who wants to contest. It's more on if you're willing to do change for the community, if you were to give that much effort in terms of your mandate. Yeah. So I think it's really not relevant, race-based parties, and I don't think it should be relevant in the whole Malaysian context as well.
Definitely, Myra.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be relevant as well. So especially in the last election, if you see the type of campaigning that Warisan did, because UMNO was actually in power in Sabah, and they toppled them down because now there's like a new narrative in Sabah in general. Like ever since that general election, there's a new narrative into saying, you know what, like we are people of different races. Like this land is all of us together. Like, why are, like, there are new narratives into saying, like, why are these peninsula, like, parties are coming into, you know, Sabah? And, like, there are race-based parties. Why are they coming into Sabah? And that narrative is staying, like, even in the future even in the future elections. And you also have to analyze the social dynamics of people in Sabah because we are a hot pot of culture. Like, I'm a Malay, my mom is Bajau, I have Karazan cousins and Dusun cousins. We have relatives who are non-Muslims, who are Muslims. So we are together in this Sabah and living and like coexisting together. So having a race-based party, meaning you're alienating part of yourself or even your family. So that's why it can never work in Sabah.
Mm.
Even thinking of the idea of creating a race-based party in Sabah has already a negative impact on my mind. I think most of the youths, not only youths, but I think most people in Sabah would have the same perception that we don't actually like race-based parties. And it's because we're a lot of different races in Sabah, and by only pushing yourself towards one party, which is only through one race, It's kind of irrelevant in the Sabahan context.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit about COVID-19, right? So right now, there's an estimated around 250,000 Sabah voters that live in Peninsula Malaysia, but the COVID-19 restrictions are going to make it difficult for them to return home to vote. How can we resolve this issue?
Yeah, so I spoke about this before. Yeah, I think postal voting is something that should materialize for this election because of circumstances. Like, we use postal voting because it's just not accessible for some people to vote. So I think these are one of the circumstances. We're in the midst of pandemic and not everyone can afford a flight ticket, even though we have funders. Like, not all of them can fund, 250,000 people, and flight tickets are very expensive. So I think this is the time where, the Election Commission can also work out and enable postal voting for Sabahans that wish to vote via, post. It makes it easier and makes voting accessible to a lot of Sabahans in Peninsula.
Hmm. The Sabah state elections, it tends to be incredibly thrilling because of how unpredictable it can be. This time around, are we in for another plot twist? Do you guys have any predictions?
Yeah. So I think Shan would also share this same sentiment. Like, it's anyone's game, and at this point, it's not as the context is not similar as the ones before because people tend to vote, like Shan said, based on party. But because we see that individuals tend to party hop, what is the personality or integrity of this politician? So people tend to vote now based on the individual. So honestly, it is not now based on the cult around that personality or who this party are comprised of. It's mostly because people trust in this individual who's going to represent them for their constituency. So at this point, I say it's anyone's game. If you want to contest, this is the time.
All right, Sean?
Yeah, I could say that the political landscape in Sabah is like a Korean drama. You never know what to expect, to be honest. Like, you can see in the previous general election, we had two chief ministers. And it's unexpected. Like, wow, how is that possible? So I really can't predict what would happen in this snap election. If there is a snap election, even. So we're really not sure. Like, even myself, I'm trying to keep up with the news. But even the news itself don't have any prediction. So it's anyone's game right now. Anything could happen. We just have to wait and see.
All right. Okay. So, before I let you guys go, do y'all have a final message to our listeners?
Yeah. For me, it comes back to this stereotype that when you're well versed in politics, it doesn't necessarily mean that you should be a politician, that you can't have to be a politician. I feel that as youths ourselves, we should be well aware of what's happening all around us. And it doesn't necessarily mean to be involved in politics directly. I mean, for myself, I've been involved in a lot of grassroots movements. And through grassroots movements, you can actually see how a community is shaped. And what I want to say to all the listeners, especially if, who knows, one of the candidates would be contesting in the next general election, mm-hmm. In the next snap election, is to actually hear the voices of your people. Please don't actually think about your own self-gain, because at the end of the day, even though you get richer, the poorer gets poorer. And that's the sad situation we live in Sabah. There's a huge income disparity. The economic disparity there is huge. So I feel that it's something that if you would want to contest, you have to have this this sense of belonging, the sense of belonging to give back to your community itself.
Mayra?
So I think for me, politics shape our life. So youth shouldn't be discouraged or shouldn't refrain themselves from being involved in politics. Like Shan said, it doesn't mean we have to be contesting or actively being, in politics. But it's just about making sure that you care about the things around you. And that's why we need to talk more about, politics and all of these issues. And I think this is where we need to scrutinize our politicians. We need to know who are the people we're voting for. So it's about taking ownership of the path of our political journey and how we want to define ourselves, how Sabah wants to define ourselves. when you vote for your personal gain, that's how you define yourself. When you vote for the people, everyone benefits, and that's how you define Sabah.
I think that's a fantastic way to end. Thank you so much, Mahira and Syam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Mahira Marzuki, the project coordinator of Undi Sabah, as well as Shan Gom, a mock MP from Parliament Digital. And we were talking about the upcoming Sabah state elections and the key issues that Sabahan youths are focused on. So if you missed any part of this conversation or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or on Spotify. Once again, I'm Dasharan Johan, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.